Time to talk to Dr. Copen. And interesting stuff out there, Dr. Jeffrey Copen, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Medicine, Lake Forest Hospital. Our number is 312-981-7200 if you've got questions. I got a question, Dr. Copen, but first, how are you today? It's been a little while since we've spoken.
Yeah, I had one of my children finish school, so we went out to California, in-person graduation.
Woo!
Small group, but still it was in-person. Very exciting, and it was just lovely. Really, really lovely.
How nice. Oh, how nice to get the families together again. It's just a beautiful thing, Dr. Copen. We've spoken about that a lot. I did want to ask you about this because I saw this and I wonder what the health perspective is on this and what you think. I always like getting your perspective, but this is interesting. 80% of Japanese people in a recent poll say that they should cancel the Olympics. It's not worth the risk. It's like a $20 billion party. It's going to be a huge hit to the economy, but even the most influential newspaper now that is an official sponsor of the Olympics has said, you know what? We need to cancel the games. Shouldn't hold them. It's too unsafe. It's not worth the risk. And talk about all kinds of reasons why. I just wonder, what do you think?
I think the Japanese have a unique issue. Let's think of the geography, Anna, of Japan. It's a series of islands, right? And they effectively cut themselves off from the rest of the world through the entire pandemic. And now they're talking about greeting, what is it, like 20,000 people from around the world for the Olympics. And I think we can understand why many Japanese would be concerned about that after spending the last 15, 16 months truly isolated from the rest of the world, withdrawing to what is really an island fortress when it comes to the pandemic. So I'm not surprised. You know, let's recall the Olympics were actually supposed to be last summer. Mm-hmm. They were canceled because of the pandemic, and there was a lot of excitement about being able to stage them successfully this year. I also know that there was a decision made not to mandate the use of vaccines in the athletes and the coaches and the other personnel who were going to be coming. I thought that was a rather interesting decision not to mandate that. So all of this right now is coming to a head as we get closer to the beginning of the Olympics. I personally think it can be staged safely. I think using the same kind of strategy that the NBA used back at during its playoffs last year, it could have been done. For whatever reason, the Japanese don't seem to have the stomach for it, and I sure would not want to be involved as a major political leader in Japan right now
trying to
deal with this issue.
Well, it's a lose-lose if there's even one incident or one outbreak or one sort of, you know, one person loses their life, right? I mean, it's how do you do it? Although, as you point out, we've seen large-scale athletic events held. We've seen a number of them, haven't we? And they've all seemed to go okay, including the Super Bowl.
Right. I mean, let's remember when we spoke about the Olympics and, I mean, the Olympics, the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And there was all this concern about the Super Bowl was going to be a super spreader event and all the parties and everything. Well, it didn't happen, did it? It can be done. And this is the Summer Olympics. Everything's outdoors. It could be done. But, you know, you and I are not sitting in Tokyo. And
no.
You know, we're not the decision makers. We're just looking for Lollapalooza to start now.
And that's allowed. I mean, we know what happens there, Dr. Copen. It is, I mean, there are several germs that are, you know, kind of passed along from person to person in history. But now I guess they're requiring a vaccine for that. So at least to cover COVID. So that's covered. I will see. Look, here, one of the things I just want to mention this to you, because I found it very curious. The editorial board of this most influential newspaper in Japan says, and again, a big sponsor of the Olympics, says virus variants could spread in Japan and around the world, and that this could be the place where that sort of percolates, that they're saying it's not, that's unforgivable to gamble on the possibility that the event could go well and not produce one of these virus variants. What do you say to that, Dr. Copen?
Yeah, we see virus variants when the virus is running rampant, like what we're seeing in India now, what we had in Brazil or South Africa. I don't see that happening in the Olympics. Taking some basic precautions, So I wouldn't, that would not be my concern. I think if we heard where the Japanese are concerned with the introduction of the COVID virus into Japan, where they haven't had a lot of it, I could understand that. But I would not be concerned about the development of a variant that would be a problem for the world.
Okay. Yeah, I thought that was an interesting thing to bring up. It was one of their lead points. So that it helps to get your perspective on that. Other thing I'd love to get your perspective on is the idea that the Biden administration now is calling on U.S. agencies and the CIA even to investigate the origins of the virus and look at this Wuhan lab a little closer as a possibility for where the virus originated. What do you make of all this? Because a few months ago, Facebook wouldn't even let you post anything if you were curious about if it originated there. Now there's a full-scale global investigation.
Yeah. This has been a crazy story from the beginning. When the pandemic first started and people were trying to understand where did this novel coronavirus come from, as I think everyone will remember, the Wuhan Institute of Virology was one of the possible sources of the virus. And right away, you know, the Chinese got very angry. The World Health Organization said, no, this isn't true. There was a lot of negative response, some of it almost violent. You might remember, Anna, there was concern that there was going to be xenophobia and mm-hmm. all kinds of things. Unfortunately, this got pulled into politics. And if we remember back to what it was like in the beginning of the pandemic, this got pulled into all of the politics. It is amazing to me that now, more than a year later, there's serious investigations going into this. I don't think this story is going to die now. I think that this is going to be something that's going to have to be fully vetted. I hope it will happen. We also have to remember that there's actually American taxpayer dollars that went to support some of the research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. I think our government owes it to us
for sure
to fully vet this story and see if there's any truth to it or not.
So for so many reasons, I'd agree with you. I mean, you think all along, it just seems strange to me that the virus originated in the same town where there's this level 4 biosafety lab studying coronaviruses, right? And potentially how they jump from bats to other species. And it just seemed like, well, gee, we're not allowed to look there. We're not allowed to be curious about that. That's a possibility. And some said, well, you know, does it really matter? I mean, I don't know. The CIA is looking into it now because did China create a biological weapon against us? I mean, I don't know. Yeah, these are real questions they're actually looking at now. That seemed absolutely maybe silly to some folks just a few months ago. Is it important from a health perspective, if not a global affairs perspective, but from a health perspective to learn if that's where it originated?
100%, Anna. We need to know how this originated. I mean, if this virus really did jump from an animal to human beings, we need to know that, and we need to understand that. Which, incidentally, that's part of the reason that that the U.S. was funding some of the research in Wuhan was precisely to look into how viruses jump from an animal into a human being. We would want to know that if that's really what happened. On the other hand, if there was a lab safety incident in a level 4 laboratory like this, we need to know that as well to make sure that laboratories around the world that do similar research is able to make the proper modifications that are safety protocols so this doesn't happen any longer.
Yeah.
So let's hope that we get to the bottom of this and we can react appropriately to it.
Yeah, I hope so, too. It's good that they're looking into it in this kind of scale now. Curious about why it took this long, but I can put that aside. The other part, just from a journalistic perspective, the fact that Facebook prohibited any speech about that curiosity or those types of concerns, I think, I don't know, the whole censorship thing is coming up in my brain again. That's not your area, it's mine, but I just feel like, I don't know, they're a global platform, and they're the ones who sort of moderate the town square speech now, and they're saying you weren't even allowed a few months ago to even suggest that there was it had originated there, that there, we should look into it even. Those types of posts were struck down, and now here we are. They're allowed. Separate conversation. I won't drag you into it. But let me drag you into something else, though, Dr. Copen, that is health-related.
Well, you know, Anna, before we go on, though, I have to say I learned something that I didn't know prior to reading a lot about possible origins of this virus. I did not know what bat guano was until I started to read about this. That bat excrement has its own name. It's guano. So, I mean, that's like an SAT word, if I think back to the old days, right?
And you probably did very well on your SATs. Guano is not a word I knew then or now, so thank you for telling me. I think that could come use. I could give that to my 9-year-old. That could be very useful in elementary school.
There you go.
Dr. Copen, there's something interesting here happening, too, because you start looking at how long the vaccines last. And that's a question you and I have talked about. And I think people are talking about it again, because now you look at we're approaching 4 months since some folks got the vaccine, you in the medical community, I think, and you know that the research went to 6 months at one point. Where are we now in terms of how long the medical community thinks this will last, these vaccines?
Yeah, so yeah, for me now, I'm 5 months already. So yeah, 5.5 months. So yeah, this kind of important to know, right?
Yeah.
So we know at least 6 months. There's now a lot being written that's probably going to be at least a year, so somewhere between 6 and 12 months. And I think that's right. I think we'll be getting the reports shortly that it's 7 months. There's been a lot published in the immunology literature over the last couple of weeks, looking at the human immune response to both COVID infection, recovery, and then immunization. And it's a really good story. As we've talked about, Anna, there seems to be pretty good lasting immunity, particularly for those people who had a COVID infection, recovered, and then got vaccinated. We've talked about this before. Those people just have superb, superb immune response to the vaccines. And I think people who weren't infected and were immunized will also have ongoing immunity. Why is this important? We've been talking about, do we need booster shots or not?
Mm-hmm.
It's now getting towards the end of May. If we do need booster shots, it'll probably be sometime by the late fall. So this science that's going on right now is really important to help guide the decision. Do we need a booster? And if so, when will it be done? But the bottom line is that the immune response to the vaccines is really terrific. And I'm not worried that I'm coming up on 6 months since my vaccine that I'm going to have to worry about losing immunity. That's not going to happen.
This is going to sound like a stupid question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Is there, with most vaccines, is there like a fall off when it just sort of like dramatically stops being effective when you're talking about flu vaccines or shingles vaccines? Or is it sort of just a gradual process? I mean, how does that work typically, Dr. Copen?
Yeah, so some of the vaccines we get when we're kids, those give us lasting immunity. It's amazing. There's this immune memory that our bodies have. And even though we don't need to call upon that immunity maybe for 40 years, it's there if we need it. Isn't that amazing, Anna, when you think about it?
Yeah.
We carry around the memory of prior infections and immunizations that can protect us many, many years into the future. I mean, it's really an extraordinary thing when we consider that. So why do we need to get influenza vaccines every year? It's because the influenza virus changes. And it's unusual for us to have the same influenza virus around 2 years in a row. So we usually get immunized every year by that shot, the flu shot. There's usually three different types of influenza virus that's included in the shot. And it's a good prediction made, that these will be the strains of the influenza virus that will be around during the flu season. If it was the same influenza virus from the previous year that we were already protected to, we'd still have a lot of protection to it. So the hope is with this COVID virus and the immunity that we have to the spike protein, that we're still going to have protection a year from now and even longer. Exactly how long that's going to go, we don't know for sure. We're going to have to find out from real life experience. But I'm pretty convinced, based on the research that's been done to date, that we'll still have at least some immunity that can keep us safe.
Dr. Copeland, only a few, 30 seconds left here, but I did want to get to this listener question, 312. Can you please, Anna, ask the doctor, of all the people who have passed away because of COVID, what percentage were fully vaccinated, as close as he knows, knowing that the data may not be right there? I know you've talked about this before. Address it one more time, if you can, quickly before we close.
Yeah, so yesterday, I can give you right off the presses, the Centers for Disease Control, in a publication called the MMWR, published the experience of fully vaccinated people through the end of April in the United States. 100 million people. 100 million people. There were only 10,000 infections, and there only were 28 deaths. It's extraordinary. It's
pretty remarkable.
Extraordinary. Yeah, so we're talking about percentages of percentages. It's like 0.00001% people dying who are fully vaccinated. So if they really work, we've been saying this from the beginning, right, Anna, about the vaccines.
Sure.
You won't get very ill. You won't wind up in my intensive care unit. And most importantly, you won't die. And now we have 100 million vaccinated people through the end of April who further confirm that fact.
Yeah. Dr. Copeland, great hearing your perspective. I think we should end it there. It's a great place to end, and look forward to talking to you again next week. Enjoy the Memorial Day weekend.
Have a wonderful long weekend, and happy Memorial Day. Let's remember those who served.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you soon. Dr. Copeland there.